Disruption is what so many business leaders are thinking and worried about, and is the grist for so many innovation initiatives and projects. Disruption is just one of the six D's that the pioneers behind this book, Exponential Organizations, and the organization itself, Singularity University, discuss. I'll touch on these during this podcast. Hi, this is Jonathan Marks, and welcome to the On Your Marks Book Review Podcast. Exponential Organizations, written by Salim Ismail, Michael Malone, and Yuri van Geest, is a fascinating dive into the architecture of fast-growing technology-oriented businesses. The authors draw on a range of examples and cases, some well-known and others a little more obscure, as the basis for developing the model of exponential organizations. In this podcast, I will touch on a few of the key attributes of XOs, as they're known, and expand a little on the six D's, which are the driving force behind so many companies pursuing an exponential business model. Singularity University, of which Ismail was the founding director, takes its name from the concept of the singularity. The singularity is a point at which machine intelligence will surpass human intelligence, essentially a point at which the machines we have created will have learnt all they can from us and will develop an advanced intelligence far superior to our own. The stuff of fantasy or the stuff of Hollywood blockbusters, you may wonder. Well, neither, says the chief prognosticator Ray Kurzweil, who is co-founder and chancellor at Singularity University. He's a widely published author and head of engineering at Google with a focus on machine learning and AI. Kurzweil, speaking at the South by Southwest conference in 2017, said, and I quote, 2029 is the consistent date I have predicted for when AI will pass a valid Turing test and therefore achieve human levels of intelligence. I have set the date 2045 for the singularity, which is when we will multiply our effective intelligence a billionfold by merging with the intelligence we have created. End quote. What drives so much of this development are the six D's. These are, and I quote, a chain reaction of technological progression that will always lead to enormous upheaval and opportunity. End quote. The D's are digitized, deceptive, disruptive, demonetized, dematerialized, and democratized. Kurzweil, Ismail, and co. argue that as everything is digitized, reduced to ones and zeros, it becomes part of computing's exponential growth through ease of access, sharing, and distribution. Initial growth is often deceptive. What looks like slow growth is actually fast as the system is doubling at each iteration. As an example, if you grow something 31 times in a linear manner, you get something 31 times bigger than when you started. If you grow exponentially and double 31 times, you have something that is a billion times bigger at the end. So this new technology disrupts existing markets. Just look at how music streaming killed the CD market. And this leads to demonetization, where the marginal cost of another download, for example, is essentially zero. And we have access to vast amounts of data and resources at an unprecedented low price, if not for free. As software is cheaper to make and distribute than hardware, and as apps and what they provide us is more useful than yet another device, I mean, who owns a GPS device anymore? We find that the business model changes and we in the end become the business model, enjoying free access to services in exchange for our data. This is the process of dematerialization, the merging of devices, often into our smartphones, which in turn replace the plethora of things we used to once own, cameras, video cameras, iPods, GPSs, etc. This ultimately leads to democratization. As prices drop and bandwidth and access increases, more people have access, and assuming we don't have a repeat of the Cambridge Analytica saga, well, we should all be better off for it. Phew, that was just the background to the book. Now we can actually dive into the meat of the book itself. The book makes the case for and presents the architecture for exponential organizations. These are defined as an organization whose impact is at least 10 times larger than its peers, largely due to the use of disruptive technology. A nice little story at the beginning of the book explains this by way of an example. In March 2007, just 2 months after the launch of the iPhone, Nokia, the former Finnish giant of the mobile telephony world, spend $8 billion buying Navtec, a navigation and road mapping company. Nokia was betting that the dominance of Navtec, and in particular their in-road sensors, essentially sensors in the actual road measuring traffic volumes, would allow them to dominate the mapping and mobile and local online information world. A pretty good strategy, I think, apart from the fact that at the same time, and making use of the rapid exponential growth in smartphone usage and distribution, a little-known Israeli company called Waze was choosing to do a very similar thing, mapping and providing local information, but was leveraging the GPS already in the smartphones of users to capture traffic data. By June 2012, Nokia's market value had tumbled from $140 billion to around $8 billion, really the cost of what they paid for Navtec. And in 2013, Google acquired Waze for $1.1 billion. Waze had no infrastructure, no hardware, and just about 100 employees. They did, however, have 50 million users, really 50 million sensors out in the field. The number has more than doubled since Google's acquisition. The story sets up the EXO architecture, and this begins with the development of an MTP, or Massive Transformative Purpose. This is a reason for being, a huge objective around which to build the business, much like Google's Organize the World's Information. What's central to the MTP is its purpose, drawing from Simon Sinek's articulation of finding your why. The authors then present 10 attributes, 5 internal and 5 external, that drive XOs. I've listed these in the companion infographic, and they're easily found on the web if you want to get into the nuts and bolts of each, so I won't repeat them here. But there are a few that I think are worth exploring, as I see these already playing out around us. Two of the internal attributes, staff on demand and leveraging assets, are well entrenched in our world of work already. The rise of the gig economy and work as a tour of duty, an idea popularized by Reid Hoffman from LinkedIn, is something that is rapidly changing the nature of secure employment. The book makes mention of this and has a wonderful quote explaining employment from the 20th century. And I quote, "The best way to harness human talent is through full-time exclusive employment where people are paid for the amount of time they spend at a common location," end quote. I think we can all see that this is already crumbling, maybe not fast enough, as more and more work is being linked to outputs and projects. The idea of leveraging assets also interested me, and not just workplaces, for example, the increased use of co-working spaces and locations such as WeWork, but also infrastructure. An Economist article some years ago entitled "A Cambrian Moment" suggested that starting a tech business in the late 90s, early 2000s would have needed an initial investment of a few hundred thousand dollars for hardware and infrastructure and software. Whereas now, with free or nearly free software as a service and shared infrastructure such as Amazon Web Services and WeWork for that matter, a fraction of this amount was required. One of the external attributes challenging the idea of control and order is to develop autonomous work teams. I was somewhat bemused reading this as an innovation, given my recent review of the book Maverick from the early 1990s, where Semler was already promoting the idea and putting this into place in a decidedly non-tech context. But the idea remains a good one, and technology such as Slack has allowed us to work well across geographies in these kinds of teams. Ishmael and his authors offer detail and examples of each attribute, and while these are mostly aligned to the startup world, they provide a number of chapters showing how to implement this approach in existing companies, providing cases from GE, Coca-Cola, and many others. The book includes an audit that can be done to determine how close your organization is to being an XO, and this audit is also available for free online. What interested me was that a few of the startup businesses that were heralded as being exemplars in the book of being XOs were no longer in business. This included a crowdsourced car company called Local Motors that was developing a car entirely from crowd input and engagement. They got pretty far and raised some capital, but have since closed up shop, and I was left wondering at the half-life of these kinds of pure-play XO companies, and the value of peddling technology and innovation as the panacea to all of our global ills and challenges. It may just be timing, and that in the fullness of time, the value of exos will be revealed. But I guess in the interim, it's worth remembering that all that glitters isn't gold. This book is definitely worth a read if you haven't done so already. It fits neatly in with the other startup books such as Business Model Generation and The Lean Startup. And the practical how-to part of the book makes this a very valuable guide. I would suggest at worst watch one of the videos that I've shared in the infographic. This should give you a good overview of what you can apply as you feel is useful to you and your organization. Well, as always, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Feel free to pass it along and share your feedback with me. This week, I'm reading the book The Omnivore's Dilemma by Michael Pollan. It's a change of pace from the last few weeks as we look at the natural history of food and the challenges that we have day to day with industrialized food and the choices of being an omnivore. Please look out for that podcast next Tuesday. From me, I hope you have an absolutely exponential week ahead.